Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. As he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved follow for them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? And Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, we come before you, having read your word, O God, and desiring that you would feed us, nourish our souls by it. O Lord, I pray that you would attend the preaching of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And that at this time, as your word is proclaimed, that you, O God, would so rest the hearts of men, called to be shepherds, called to be pastors within your flock, O God, I pray that you would so bless them with all that the calling with which they have been called. And that you, O Lord, my God, would set upon them such zeal and such desire to put themselves as under shepherds of your flock. To do no harm to thy sheep, O Lord, but to care for them. And indeed, as you have instructed Peter to feed your sheep, to tend your lambs, O God. There are so many distractions in ministry, O God. There are so many things that can detract from this central purpose and call to which you have called us. And I pray that you would center our gaze upon Jesus. That you would fix our eyes upon him and the purpose with which he has called us, that we might feed his sheep. And that you would give us grace to that end in the name of Jesus Christ. And if this matter remains unsettled within the hearts of certain amongst us, O Lord, my God, would you by the power of your Holy Spirit deal with this matter even now and settle it in the hearts of these gathered around your word. For the sake of your glory, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your glory in the church, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, while I was thinking about what I would share on this occasion and praying concerning it. A question dawned on me providentially, I think. You will have to decide. What would I say if it were the last opportunity I had to say it? If I were a dying man preaching to dying men, what would I leave with you? What would I entrust to your care? Now, we all are dying men, as it were, and women, dying. We are moving from this life into the next. We're on a journey, on a path from this world to the next, and there are things that we ought to do. And there is a calling which I hope all of you have been called to, is to be shepherds, men of God called to be shepherds of God's church. This message is an attempted response to exactly that question. John Piper, in his commentary on Adoniram Judson, argues that suffering and martyrdom of Christ's messengers is a divine design. And I want to put it to you that God has ordained it so that you would serve His church through suffering, that you would serve His church even until or unto martyrdom if necessary. We live in a context, we live in a world, we live in a society where everybody associates status to being a pastor, and many times join themselves to theological institutions like this on the ground of what form of status they might achieve. And some join themselves to institutions like this on the grounds of what form of fame or what kind of stepping stone that qualification might be to them. And I want to suggest to you that if that is your motive, you are here for the wrong reason, and you best bow up now. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Your fruitfulness in the ministry is dependent on whether or not you are sown and die. Charles Simeon's response to his friend Joseph Gurney for asking how he had endured or surmounted the great opposition that had been his portion for so many years was this: my dear brother, we must not mind a little suffering for Christ's sake. When I'm getting through a hedge, if my head and shoulders are safely through, I can bear the pricking of my legs. Let us rejoice in the remembrance that our holy head has surmounted all his suffering and has triumphed over death. Let us follow him patiently. We shall soon be partakers of his victory. The call to ministry is a peculiar thing. It is a mysterious thing. And I'm sure those of you who are familiar with the Holy Spirit working in your heart, working through circumstances, orchestrating matters, so that you would come to the conviction that He is calling you to serve Him in full-time ministry, I'm sure you will agree that it is, by all things and all accounts, a mysterious thing. And it's different in every case, but in the portion of Scripture before us, I see our Lord Jesus Christ restoring a man and calling him to be a shepherd. And so I implore you not to take lightly this matter of call. While you are here, wrestle with it. Wrestle with this matter of whether or not you are called to serve God in ministry. Wrestle with it. Because it will stand you in good stead in ministry. It's a question that must be answered before you step out into the harvest field. For no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So I found a few things that have been instructive to me and to my call over the years to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this portion of the scripture, and they have caused me to shudder at times. First thing I would love to draw your attention to is our Lord Jesus Christ's inquiry and investigation and assessment of Peter's affections. A man called to be a shepherd should expect to have his affections severely tried. You will have your affections severely tried, and like a dagger to the heart, the Lord Jesus Christ will ask you, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Peter weeps because you ask him a third time, you see, but the Lord Jesus Christ has an intent to test this man's affections. Am I the reason you are pursuing ministry? Am I the reason you sit around this table and dine with me? Am I the reason you follow me? Am I the reason you wish to be a leader in the church? Oh, that question will be asked of you time and time again. That question will echo in your ears around every circumstance, because Christ has a desire to test your affections. If you are going to be a shepherd of God's flock, be sure that you love Jesus Christ. If you have any problem with your affections for Christ Jesus, step aside now, dear brother, for the road is treacherous before you. And you best be sure that there is no other reason that you are pursuing this calling apart from your love for Jesus. Whom God will use greatly, He will wound deeply. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Peter, who has denied Him only a few days before. And He comes to Peter and He says to him, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" You remember Peter saying, "Lord, if all betray you, I will love you." Saying, "Everyone will go by the wayside, but me, Lord, I will stay by your side." Oh, what a trial of his affections was to follow. And Christ comes as this great tender shepherd. And he's not upbraiding him, he's not ripping him to shreds for being such a coward, but he comes down to that one question: "Peter, do you love me?" That is all that will count in your ministry, my friend. Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and your pursuit after Him. Consider Abraham. Abraham was given and required to offer up his son. What a dagger to the heart. This child of promise, this child that you have promised I would have, this gift that you have given me, oh God, now you require that I give it up. Oh, but he waited. As he was about to strike that fatal blow, God said, "Abraham, do not lay your hand on your body. For now I know that thou lovest me. Do you love him? Even when you are trying. When there's no money in your bank account, are you here still because you love him? Even when you don't know where the next morsel of bread is going to come from, are you here because you love him? Are you so sold out in your affections for the Lord Jesus Christ that you will not be dissuaded by anything that is set before you, but to accomplish what you have been called to do because of your affection for Jesus?" Is not settled in your heart, you will likely leave this call. You will likely run to do something else. When the trials and the struggles and the strife become too much, you will leave. Consider Jacob. Oh, God, meeting with him on his own over there, wrestling with God as it were. Wrestling with God and being dealt with so severely. Joseph, wounded greatly, deeply, so that God might use him greatly. What is the purpose and what is the reason and the motive behind the severe trying of your affections? Why is that so important for Lord Jesus Christ that by the power of His Holy Spirit He is inquiring of you even now? Because the great shepherd loves the sheep, you see. He loves the sheep. And I'd be able to see a man and his affection for the Lord Jesus Christ by how tenderly He cares for Christ's sheep. Woe to him who instead of feeding the sheep as instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ feeds upon the sheep and fleeces them for his own delights and desires. Woe to him, for he will not remain guiltless. The Lord loves. So if a man called to be a shepherd is going to go into the ministry, you should expect to have your affection severely tried around every corner. Around every struggle, around every difficulty, when your eyes are upon the hardships in ministry, oh, that question will echo in your ear. Do you love me? Secondly, after the Lord Jesus Christ interrogates Peter regarding his affections for the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he tells Peter by what manner of death he should glorify God, Peter then turns around and he says, but what about this disciple? John, the beloved disciple. He turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, in verse 20, the one who also has leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray him? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? I have learned in ministry a short while. I have learned that a man called to be a shepherd should not expect companionship. Should not expect companionship. When God provides it, when the Lord gives it, it is a blessing. When a David can have a Jonathan whom he loves as his own soul, it's a blessing. When God provides it. But it certainly is not something you and I can expect when He thrusts us out into His harvest field. Oh, when the wolves come, spitting lies to the sheep, so that they might devour the sheep, there may be days where you stand on your own. Where you stand alone before God's people, imploring them not to go with the wolf. Imploring them to stay. Stay their course upon the word of God. Listen to Paul, 2 Timothy 4 verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this world, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus and Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. My name too is Alexander, and I hope that I do not serve the gospel so negatively. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, and the wolves swoop in, dear brothers. There might be brothers who stand with you now, but when those wolves come, they run to be with the wolves. They flip sides like coins. That elder whom you trusted and whom you loved is like a tanner to the heart. As he just flips just like that and leaves you. Forsakes your company when all you are doing is standing for truth. Oh, do not expect companionship in the ministry. There will be days where you feel the loneliness encroaching in upon you and upon your life. As you feel so many struggles, and you feel strife from every corner, you feel struggles all around you, you feel hard pressed on every side, and you don't know which way to go, and it will seem as you go, you stand alone. But see Paul say in this portion of scripture that Christ, the Lord, verse 17, stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. And all the Gentiles might hear it. One with Christ constitutes a majority, I have heard it said. And I think it too. A man called to be a shepherd will become familiar with loneliness. And I think it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is working something inside of him. I do not necessarily think that it is always a bad thing. I think that even that works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So that you might forsake the arm of flesh and know that Christ has promised that he is with you to the end of the age, that you might feed to the companionship of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you might not be so easily swayed by whether there are men or women against you, but that you will stay and stay your focus on the Lord. Being in relationship and friendship with him. Him being your companion. Fixing your gaze on him. And isn't it often that when we are alone, that we learn this lesson? That we learn to fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is often when we are, when people describe us as being, when days are dark, friends are few, it is often in those dark days that we realize what we have a companion in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master, who is eager that we should cleave to him and his companionship above all things. Thirdly, a man called to be a shepherd should beware of comparison. Peter is drawing attention to John and would like to know what is going to come of John and what role will he play. Maybe he has a courtesy to John, says Matthew Henry, for what John did earlier in asking who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, drawing attention to John. You see, comparison is the thief of contentment. You will go and you thrust out into ministry, and there you will serve. You might find it difficult where you are, and all of a sudden you look at these men on TVN and you wonder, what am I doing? Or you look at another brother of similar theological persuasion in another area, and you see how marvelous is the Lord is blessing the work where he is. And you wonder to yourself, well, am I doing something wrong? Have I missed the point over here? But you must beware of comparison, making comparison between yourself and between other brothers of the Lord is equally keen to use. Because you will dishearten yourself unnecessarily and you will grow discontent with where the Lord has placed you, and you will grow discontent with the station that He has given to you. Your contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ will diminish. Be careful. Do not make comparison. Be content to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be content to love the Lord Jesus Christ where He puts you. Whether it be among a few, or whether it be with many, or whether you don't even have a car to drive yourself, you have to cycle on a bicycle to various church plants. Be content with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has entrusted to you. For it is He who pours. It is He who gives the increase. What can you change by desiring what another man has? The Lord Jesus Christ alone calls men into His harvest field and appoints them unto work in His vineyard. Something else that grabbed me when I looked at this portion of Scripture: the Lord Jesus Christ saying to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." He says to Peter in verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This He said to show by what kind of death He was to glorify God. This is commonly a reference to Peter's martyrdom and how that Peter would glorify God in becoming a martyr for Christ's sake. What an honor, what a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Now that privilege is not given to all of us, but I think there's another depth that is evidenced by the words that follow after that. And after saying this, He said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." And after Peter draws attention to John, the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "What is that to you? You follow me." Those words, "follow me," are some of the words that were used in the initial call of these fishermen who were in their boats, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Follow me. Come after me." It gains new significance now that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying it, because He is saying to His disciples, whenever He says to follow me, He is saying, "Follow the way that I have gone. Follow me in the ridicule. Follow me in the shame. Follow me in the humiliation. Follow me being insulted, being reviled. Follow after me." And there are so many men who run away from any notion that they are going to suffer in the ministry and think that they will be entrusted with huge churches and never struggle. I tell you the truth. The stench of death will be upon you whether you like it or not. A man called to be a shepherd has the stench of death upon him, because you carry that gospel which is death to one and life to another. And not only that, you yourself will experience many, many deaths, to use it as a manner of speaking. In walking after the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know what it means to die to self. If any man would come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That cross, couldn't allude to anything other than suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ is our master, and is the student ever better or higher than his teacher? Who do we think we are? We too, like him, will suffer many things. Like dying men, we will preach to a dying people. You will come into a church and you will find that the church over there rejects you, rejects your ministry like they did with Charles Simeon. They don't want you there. They'd rather have you gone because for some other reason they don't like you. The way you style your sermons, etc., etc., is irritating to them, and they'd rather have you gone. And they fire you, and you want to drag them before the courts, and you hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Will you sue my bride, my son? Will you drag her before the courts, my son? Die. Die. Die to even that pride. Die to even that injustice that you have suffered. You feeling that you have every right to take these people for every penny that they are worth." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Follow me." Die. When you leave her destitute in order to go and serve in the marketplace, to go and earn a penny, when you leave her without a shepherd, house or situation, take your children to the ideal school. Maybe they might have to be homeschooled as a result. Die. Die to those desires. Not to mention our flesh. Not to mention all of the sin that we struggle with. The Lord Jesus Christ is drawing us, beckoning us, follow Him so that we would die. When we are ridiculed, when we are insulted, oh, when people tell you like they told me, "No, you are complicating the gospel with your Calvinism." Die. Die. Ideas of health benefits, comfortable retirement, etc., etc., all the things we need to die. In pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the calling with which He has called us. Colossians 1 verse 24, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church." I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Now you may look at all of these things and say to yourself, "Well, what is there to be gained amidst the stench of death?" And I would say to you, if you do not have the stomach for it, that you best use this qualification for something else, but stay away from ministry. Because the Lord will lead you there. Lead you to death. But in this He makes us more and more into His image, is it not? Was not the Lord Jesus Christ the one who was reviled and yet reviled not? Was He not the one who was put to shame and openly humiliated, and yet he prayed that they would be forgiven, that God would not hold this against them, but that God would forgive them because they do not know what they are doing? Was he not the one who took upon himself all of that shame and all of that disgusting sin and made himself of no repute, humbled himself? In our Lord Jesus Christ calling us to follow after him, he is making us more and more into his likeness. As he leads us to die to self, day after day, dying, poured out like a drink offering, as it were, he makes us like him. And may he grant that we glorify him in death, whether in martyrdom or whether by dying in peace one day in your bed, violently perhaps or peacefully, may we glorify God even in our death. Philippians 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out to my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. While being called to be a shepherd of Christ's sheep is a deep, weighty matter, I think the rewards far outweigh the cost. And I pray that the Lord will raise up shepherds among us, even here. Amen. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, O Lord, that you have seen fit to use vessels unworthy, undeserving of ourselves, to be under shepherds of the body of Christ, workers in your vineyard. What a privilege is ours. And while it is nothing to be trifled with, it is a serious matter. We know, O God, that the reward is great, because we will have in death what we have pursued in life, Christ Jesus. Settle in our hearts our affections for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to be content with his companionship. Allow us, O Lord, not to unnecessarily make comparison, be discouraged by what we see, but to be content with the portion that has been allotted us, and to follow you in death. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 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 Hold me in your ear. Do you love me? Do you love me? Secondly, after the Lord Jesus Christ interrogates Peter regarding his affections for the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he tells Peter by what manner of death he should glorify God, Peter then turns around and he says, but what about this disciple? John, or beloved disciple? He turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them in verse 20, the one who also has leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray him? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? I have learned in ministry a short while. I have learned that a man called to be a shepherd should not expect companionship. Should not expect companionship. When God provides it, when the Lord gives it, it is a blessing. When a David can have a Jonathan whom he loves as his own soul, it's a blessing. When God provides it. But it certainly is not something you and I can expect when He thrusts us out into His harvest field. Oh, when the wolves come, spitting lies to the sheep, so that they might devour the sheep, there may be days where you stand on your own. Where you stand alone before God's people, imploring them not to go with the wolf, imploring them to stay. Stay their course upon the word of God. Listen to Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this world, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus, and Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. My name too is Alexander, and I hope that I do not serve the gospel so negatively. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, and the wolves look in, dear brothers. There might be brothers who stand with you now, but when those wolves come, they run to be with the wolves. They flip sides like coins. That elder whom you trusted and whom you loved is like a tanner to the heart. As he just flips just like that and leaves you. Forsakes your company when all you are doing is standing for the truth. Oh, do not expect companionship in the ministry. There will be days where you feel the loneliness encroaching in upon you and upon your life. As you feel so many struggles, and you feel strife from every corner, you feel struggles all around you, you feel hard pressed on every side, and you don't know which way to go, and it will seem as you go, you stand alone. But see Paul say in this portion of scripture that Christ, the Lord, verse 17, stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. And all the Gentiles might hear it. One with Christ constitutes a majority, I have heard said. And I think it too. A man called to be a shepherd will become familiar with loneliness. And I think it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is working something inside of you. I do not necessarily think that it is always a bad thing. I think that even that works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So that you might forsake the arm of flesh and know that Christ has promised that he is with you to the end of the age, that you might feed to the companionship of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you might not be so easily swayed by whether there are men or women against you, but that you would stay and stay your focus on the Lord, being in relationship and friendship with him. Him being your companion, fixing your gaze on him. And isn't it often that when we are alone, that we learn this lesson? That we learn to fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It is often when we are, when people describe us as being, when days are dark, friends of evil, it is often in those dark days that we realize what we have a companion in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master, who is eager that we should cleave to Him and His companionship above all things. Thirdly, a man called to be a shepherd should beware of comparison. Peter is drawing attention to John and would like to know what is going to come of John. What role will he play? Maybe he has a courtesy to John, says Matthew Henry, for what John did earlier in asking who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, drawing attention to John. You see, comparison is the thief of contentment. You will go and thrust out into ministry, and there you will stir, and you might find it difficult where you are, and all of a sudden you look at these men on TVM and you wonder, well, am I doing something wrong? Or you look at another brother of similar theological persuasion in another area and you see how marvelously the Lord is blessing the work where He is. And you wonder to yourself, well, am I doing something wrong? Have I missed the point over here? But you must beware of comparison. Making comparison between yourself and between other brothers whom the Lord is equally keen to use. You will dishearten yourself unnecessarily and you will grow discontent with where the Lord has placed you, and you will grow discontent with the station that He has given to you. Your contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ will diminish. Be careful. Do not make comparison. Be content to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be content to love the Lord Jesus Christ where He puts you. Whether it be among a few, or whether it be with many, or whether you don't even have a car to drive yourself and you have to cycle on a bicycle to bear this church belongs, be content with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has entrusted to you. For it is He who calls. It is He who gives the increase. What can you change by desiring what another man has? The Lord Jesus Christ alone calls men into His harvest field and appoints them unto work in His vineyard. Something else that grabbed me when I looked at this portion of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ saying to Peter, follow the Lord. Follow me. He says to Peter in verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. This is commonly a reference to Peter's martyrdom and how that Peter would glorify God in becoming a martyr for Christ's sake. What an honor, what a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Now that privilege is not given to all of us, but I think there is another death that is evidenced by the words that follow after that. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. And after Peter draws attention to John, the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, what is that to you? You follow me. Those words, follow me, are some of the words that were used in the initial call of these fishermen who were in their boats, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, follow me. Come on after me. It gains a new significance now that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying it, because He is saying to His disciples, whoever He says to follow me, He is saying, follow the way that I have gone. Follow me in the ridicule, follow me in the shame, follow me in the humiliation, follow me being insulted, being reviled, follow after me. And there are so many men who run away from any notion that they are going to suffer in the ministry, and think that they will be entrusted with huge churches and never struggle. I tell you the truth. The stench of death will be upon you whether you like it or not. A man called to be a shepherd has the stench of death upon him, because you carry that gospel that you death to one and life to one. And not only that, you yourself will experience many, many deaths, to use it as a manner of speaking. In walking after the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know what it means to die to self. If any man would come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That cross could allude to anything other than suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ is our master, and is the student ever better or higher than his teacher? Who do we think we are? We too, like him, will suffer many things. Like dying men, we will preach to a dying people. We will come into a church and you'll find that the church over there rejects your ministry, like they did with Charles Simeon. They don't want you there, they'd rather have you gone because for some other reason they don't like you. The way you style your sermons, etc., etc., is irritating to them, and they'd rather have you gone. And they fire you, and you want to drag them before the courts, and you hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Will you sue my bride, my son? Will you drag her before the courts? To take these people for every penny that they are worth, the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me. When you leave her destitute in order to go and serve in the marketplace, to go and earn a penny, when you leave her without a shepherd, situation, take your children to the ideal schools. Maybe they might have to be homeschooled as a result. Die to those desires. Not to mention our flesh. Not to mention all of the sin that we struggle with. The Lord Jesus Christ is drawing us, beckoning us, follow Him so that we would die. When we are ridiculed, when we are insulted, oh, when people tell you like they told me, no, you are complicating the gospel with your Calvinism. Die. Ideas of health benefits, comfortable retirement, etc., etc., all the things we need to die. In pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the calling with which He has called us. Colossians 1:24, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end I strenuously contend, with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now you may look at all of these things and say to yourself, well, what is there to be gained amidst the stench of death? And I would say to you, if you do not have the stomach for it, that you best use this qualification for something else, but stay away from ministry. Because the Lord will lead you there. Lead you to death. But in this he makes us more and more into his image, is it not? Was not the Lord Jesus Christ the one who was reviled and yet reviled not? Was he not the one who was put to shame and openly humiliated, and yet he prayed that they would be forgiven? That God would not hold this against them, but that God would forgive them because they do not know what they are doing? Was he not the one who took upon himself all of that shame and all of that disgusting sin and made himself of no repute, humbled himself? In our Lord Jesus Christ calling us to follow after him, he is making us more and more into his likeness. As he leads us to die to self, day after day, dying, poured out like a drink offering, as it were, he makes us like him. And may he grant that we glorify him in death, whether in martyrdom or whether by dying in peace one day in your bed, violently perhaps, or peacefully, may we glorify God even in our death. Philippians 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out in my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. While being called to be a shepherd of Christ's sheep is a deep, weighty matter, I think the rewards far outweigh the cost. And I pray that the Lord will raise up shepherds among us, even here. Amen. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, O Lord, that you have seen fit to use vessels unworthy, undeserving of ourselves, to be under shepherds of the body of Christ, workers in your vineyard. What a privilege is ours. And while it is nothing to be trifled with, it is a serious matter. We know, O God, that the reward is great. Because we will have in death what we have pursued in life, Christ Jesus. Settle in our hearts, our affections for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to be content with His companionship. Allow us, O Lord, not to unnecessarily make comparison, be discouraged by what we see, but to be content with the portion that has been allotted us, and to follow you in death. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may look at all of these things and say to yourself, well, what is there to be gained amidst the stench of death? And I would say to you, if you do not have the stomach for it, that you best use this qualification for something else, but stay away from this. Because the Lord will lead you there. Lead you to death. But in this, He makes us more and more into His image, is it not? Was not the Lord Jesus Christ the one who was reviled and yet reviled not? Was He not the one who was put to shame and openly humiliated, and yet He prayed that they would be forgiven? That God would not hold this against them, but that God would forgive them because they do not know what they are doing? Was He not the one who took upon Himself all of that shame and all of that disgusting sin and made Himself of no repute, humbled Himself? In our Lord Jesus Christ calling us to follow after Him, He is making us more and more into His likeness. As He leads us to die to self, day after day, poured out like a drink offering, as it were, He makes us like Him. And may He grant that we glorify Him in death, whether in martyrdom or whether by dying in peace one day in your bed, violently perhaps, or peacefully, may we glorify God even in our death. Philippians 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out to my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. While being called to be a shepherd of Christ's sheep is a deep, weighty matter, I think the rewards far outweigh the cost. And I pray that the Lord will raise up shepherds among us, even here. Our precious God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, O Lord, that you have seen fit to use vessels unworthy, undeserving of ourselves, to be under shepherds of the body of Christ, workers in your vineyard. What a privilege is ours. And while it is nothing to be trifled with, it is a serious matter. We know, O God, that the reward is great. Because we will have in death what we have pursued in life, Christ Jesus. Settle in our hearts our affections for the Lord Jesus Christ. cause us to be content with His companionship. Allow us, O Lord, not to unnecessarily make comparison, be discouraged by what we see, but to be content with the portion that has been allotted us, and to follow You in death.